I'm the employee health nurse at Virginia Mason Medical Center, and I'm here to tell you about how we implemented our mandatory influenza vaccination policy. So I'm going to start with a quote by John F. Kennedy. There are risks and costs to a program of action, but they are far less than the long-range risks and costs of comfortable inaction. And LJ just talked about the abysmal rates of healthcare worker vaccinations. And one of our providers brought this quote to one of our first flu meetings. And it really sort of exemplified how we on the flu team felt about influenza vaccination. We were passionate about what we were doing, and this really sort of gave us a little bit of comfort as we moved forward on our journey. So who are we? We have our main clinic and hospital in downtown Seattle. We have 7 satellites in Western Washington, and we're a multi-specialty group practice of about 480 physicians and about 5,000 employees. We have about 1 million outpatient visits per year and about 16,000 inpatient admissions, and we're licensed as a 336-bed tertiary care hospital. This is our strategic plan, and we call it our pyramid. You can see that at the top of the pyramid is our patient, so our number one priority. We're always thinking about the patient. And this is not a strategic plan that was put on paper and sits in a drawer. This is something that's required to be shown at each and every staff meeting at the beginning of the meeting and every management meeting. And there are penalties if you don't show the strategic plan to remind everybody of what our mission is. And that's to improve the health and well-being of the patients we serve. In 2002, our organization adopted the Toyota Production System philosophies and practices, and we began to apply them to healthcare. And these put the customer first. We expect the highest quality outcomes. There's an obsession with safety. We want high staff satisfaction, and of course, we want a successful economic enterprise. One of the tools in the Toyota Production System is called the Rapid Process Improvement Workshop, or the RPIW. And you take about 7 to 10 staff people offline for a complete week. So this can include physicians, nurses, medical assistants, managers, and others. And we do try to include a patient on that team whenever possible. We take a process and we re-engineer it using rapid cycles of plan, do, check, and act. And we hope that that improved process is patient-centered and has wastes and waits eliminated. So how did our policy come about? In the summer of 2004, we ran 3 simultaneous RPIW workshops looking at ways to improve our delivery of flu vaccine to our patients and to our staff. And after reviewing the literature, we found that 2 things were very clear. Immunizing healthcare workers could result in a safer environment for patients, and voluntary programs to immunize healthcare workers had, by and large, not been very effective. So as a result of the workshops and reviewing the data, we just didn't feel that our 30 to 50% vaccination rate was good enough. And so we implemented our mandatory immunization policy for our staff. This policy was approved by our management committee and board in August of 2004, and the expected implementation for that flu season. Not a long time. We have a comprehensive fitness for duty policy that includes just about everybody that is in our facility during the influenza season. So that includes all employed staff, physicians, community providers, contingent labor, vendors, volunteers, and students. And as a result, we vaccinate about 1,000 additional people through employee health each year. Some of this cost is covered through our community charity care contribution. Our staff can request an accommodation on the basis of religious or medical grounds. We don't do declinations. We don't really need to. We only have accommodations. So our staff is either vaccinated or they have applied for an accommodation. And if the staff is approved for an accommodation, they must wear a mask at work during the entire influenza season. And we do have written guidelines for masking, and we'll talk about that a little bit more. Written requests for accommodations are evaluated on a case-by-case basis in consultation with employee health, human resources, the medical director of employee health, and the VM Infectious Disease Department. So this is our alternative to vaccination. And I want to point out that this was meant to provide a safety mechanism for our patients. It wasn't meant to be a punitive measure for our staff. But it has been a little bit of an incentive to get people vaccinated, because I've had some nurses come in after a couple of days of wearing the mask and say, oh, please, give me the flu shot. I can't take this anymore. So it's helped in some ways. So in 2004, we started our campaign, and we invited Greg Polin for the Mayo Clinic down to talk at our grand rounds. We've also had an ethicist from the University of Washington to speak to our staff. We developed an online learning module and an influenza website. But 2004, you all know that the shortage happened, and we ordered our vaccine from one supplier and one supplier only. So we didn't have hardly any vaccine. And so we had to put our policy on hold for 2004. But the flu team refocused, and we worked on our respiratory etiquette campaign and influenza education. So we developed these kiosks, these respiratory kiosks. And these kiosks have masks that are pediatric and adult size. They have hand sanitizer, tissues, and information about how to cover your cough. And we placed these kiosks at all the major entrances to our facilities. And we've subsequently developed wall-mounted kiosks for all of our hospital floors and other areas in the hospital, like the cafeteria and whatnot. And they've been very successful in helping to decrease the amount of exposure we have in our common waiting areas. It's been very effective at helping to decrease the amount of pertussis exposure I've had to deal with. And we partner with our call center to when people call in for appointments, they will screen those people, and if they have a cough or any upper respiratory type of symptoms, they are asked to put on a mask as soon as they walk into the clinic. So it's been very effective. So everyone wants to do the right thing. Why can't we just make flu vaccination fun and voluntary? Well, as LJ mentioned, this has been a recommendation for a long time, and we're still barely reaching the 42% rate. So, do we have a moral responsibility to get vaccinated? And I picked this title when looking at the ethicist issues, because it talks about the nurses. And we've had some particular difficulty in dealing with our nursing staff, unfortunately. But there's a little piece here that says, it's reasonable to assert that clinical nurses have the moral responsibility to receive the flu vaccine as a way to prevent or minimize harm to patients. And that's something we do try to stress with our staff. So what are our accomplishments? For the past 3 years, we've achieved a 98% or greater vaccination rate. We are also the first hospital in the nation to accomplish this with a mandatory program. So this is our stats. You can see that in 2002, we were at 38% compliance. In 2003, with a lot of effort from employee health, we got up to 54%, and I thought we were doing pretty darn good. 2004, we dipped down to below 30% with the shortage. But the year that we fully implemented our program, 2005, we hit 98%. 2006, 98.5%. And 2007, I'm happy to report that we're at 99% compliance. So what are the key components of a successful program? You need administrative support, and I can't emphasize this enough. You're going to be dealing with HR issues, labor relations issues, legal issues perhaps, and you need to have a strong administrative backbone to hold you up during this time. I can't underestimate our CEO and president's support in this effort. If we did not have them 100% behind this campaign, I don't think we would have made it. But they were very effective at rounding us up and giving us moral support. They would actually come to flu team meetings and say, you know, if we were having difficult issues to deal with, they'd say, don't get weak knees. This is an important issue, and you'll figure out a way to do it. And we did. But we knew we had their support. Education is also a key component, and continuing education. 1 year doesn't do it. You need to keep at it every single year. You need teamwork. You need flu champions. Our VPs and our physicians were extraordinary champions, as were our nurses who volunteered on the units to be flu champions. We had a lot of people out there really rallying and talking to people and making efforts to really promote our campaign. So flu champions are important. You need to accept the challenge. And it's not an easy challenge. It's a daunting challenge for a lot of organizations, but it can be done. We're living proof that it can be done. But it's not insignificant, and so you really need to be able to step up to the plate and be persistent. Know what you're going for and really stick with it. Every year we've had some challenge to deal with. You know, we didn't get our flu vaccine one year, and so we started our campaign with a nasal vaccine. You know, the next year we didn't get our nasal vaccine on time. You know, there's been something every single year that we've had to deal with. But it can be done. So how do you overcome the obstacles? And there's been a lot of talk throughout the conference about some of the common issues that we have to deal with. One of them is the needle phobia, and we do offer the LAIV option, and that's been an important part of our flu campaign. About 20% of our people on any given year receive LAIV, and so I think it's really important to be able to offer a choice to our employees. If you're doing a mandatory program, it's nice for them to have a choice in the type of vaccination they're going to choose. Thimerosal concerns, we offered single dose thimerosal-free vaccine. This helped with the pregnant staff, and it also helped our nursing staff so that we didn't have to draw up all those single doses of vaccine. For access, we've done just about everything that you can think of. I think one of the most effective things that we've utilized is peer vaccinators. Peer vaccinators are great at getting all of the people in their own individual clinics taken care of, and they've been very supportive. We've even had different teams, you know, have little competitions amongst themselves trying to get all of their staff vaccinated first. Mobile carts we've utilized. We have a 24-hour mobile cart that the nursing supervisors staff so that after hours and weekend staff can get vaccinated. We've also had after hours and weekend clinics, drive-through clinics, and extended hours in employee health, in addition to our kickoff, which I'll talk a little bit more about. Educational issues, we did online learning, we had a flu website, educational promotions with incentives, speakers, we published Q&As, we had radio and news coverage, community outreach, and hotlines. And we predicted in the first year that there might be a sudden onset of a lot of egg allergies. And so we were lucky enough to have the chief of asthma and allergy on our flu team. And we developed a partnership with the asthma and allergy clinic so that employees who thought they might have egg allergies could go to the asthma and allergy clinic and get tested. And this worked very well. And it was a free service for the employees. And of all the people that we sent to the asthma and allergy clinic, I think so far in the last couple of years, there's only been two people that haven't been able to get the vaccination. So that's been very effective. And then with our accommodations, we've developed standard work and a written process for dealing with the accommodations. You need to make it fun. The cheerleaders and the champions are really important. So whoever in your organization is a good cheerleader, you know, use them. This is our ID doc and one of our senior VPs of nursing. We have a very effective tailgate party that we use for our kickoff every year. We are corporate partners with the Seattle Seahawks, and so we've been lucky enough to have them in partnership every year do our kickoff. And they come to what we call our tailgate party, and staff can get pictures with the players and the cheerleaders, and we had a band this year. We always have food at our kickoff party, so we make it really fun. And in 2006, we vaccinated 753 people in 3 hours. In 2007, we vaccinated 958 people in 3 hours. So we got about a fifth of our employee population in a very short period of time. This is just a picture of our kickoff party, and you can see we have food. So we have, you know, tailgate party type food, brats and hot dogs and different things like that. We also do other things for incentives. We had a kickoff campaign where we developed a slogan, and one of our employees developed our Save Lives Immunize slogan. And again, our CEO and Vice President of Nursing were very involved. One of the years, I don't know where they got this idea, but they thought it would be fun to wear our old-fashioned nursing uniforms and hats to deliver vaccinations. The following year, we didn't do that. We wore jerseys, so it proved not to be as fun for the nursing staff. We remembered why we didn't want to wear hats. So you need to be original. There's no cookie-cutter approach for any organization. You all know the particular challenges in your own organizations, but hopefully that'll help with figuring out some of the things that you can do for your facility. This is a picture of our drive-through flu clinic, which was very popular with our patients and with our staffs. Some of our staff would just load up their whole family in a car and come through the drive-through. It was very nice because parking is a premium rate in downtown Seattle, and patients really liked not having to get out of their car. And you can see these people have coffee cups in their hand. We partnered with Tully's Coffee to provide what we called our double shot campaign. So the cars would drive through the stations, they could get registered, then get their shot, and then the last stop was to get their shot of coffee. So that was a lot of fun. You need to create community partnerships. There were 3 pediatric deaths in King County last year, and one of the children was a patient at one of our pediatric facilities. So our pediatric clinic partnered with the local school to provide vaccinations. We participated in the Faces of Influenza campaign using a compelling VM employee story. We provide vaccinations to the Seahawks employees in exchange for their participation, and we vaccinated various corporate partners and residents of a tent city, in addition to participating in the National Infectious Disease Toolkit preparation. Just a picture of our Faces of Influenza campaign. Barbara Wheeler is a nurse practitioner who had her mother die of influenza. And so as a VM employee, she got up and told the story of how she felt it was very important to be in an organization that promoted influenza vaccination. Just another picture. And vaccinating Seahawks staff and mascots. I'd like to think that because we vaccinated the Seahawks players, that's one of the reasons we got to the 2005 Super Bowl. But I don't have any evidence for that. I do know they wouldn't have been there if they hadn't been vaccinated, if they were all sick with flu. So teamwork is important. LJ's giving me the time. And it's important to have a multidisciplinary team. We did win the national award last year. And one thing to say about our unionized situation is that we did have an arbitrator's decision that our flu vaccination needed to be bargained under a collective bargaining agreement. So we can't fire our nurses for not getting vaccinated, but we can require them, according to the National Labor Relations Board, to wear a mask. So that's where we are with that. And if you're dreaming about it, you can do it. And I personally am dreaming about 100% at this point. Thank you.
Thank you.